Ladies, welcome to class number 64 of the Ramp to the Highway of Success course for young women. I am Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, working in partnership with the Martin Luther King Senior Institute for Young Men and Young Women. The Institute aims to honor the legacy of Martin Luther King Sr., commonly referred to as Daddy King, whom God used to raise the great leader, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Our purpose is to guide young men and young women and help them get on the path to becoming kings and queens, if you will, for the glory of God. I am your instructor for this course and the author of the Essence magazine national best-selling book Letters to Young Black Men and the national best-selling book Letters to Young Black Women. My wife, Marika White, and my eldest daughter, Daniela White, co-authored Letters to Young Black Women with me. My daughter, who has two bachelor's degrees in psychology and religion and a master's degree in human services, counseling, executive leadership, and is now pursuing her second master's degree in developmental psychology, and her mother developed the study guide. We are using Letters to Young Black Women and its study guide to guide you through this course. This course is for all young women, but especially for young black women and young women of color who oftentimes face disadvantages that others do not in this great country called America. The goal of this class is to help you operate from a position of strength and power based upon the Word of God so you can be victorious in life. My prayer is that this class will empower you to win against your enemies, the devil, sorry, no good men, and even yourself. Today we will continue our study, Let Your Education Shine Through. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace upon us. We thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for salvation full and free through him. And there's no better life than the Christian life. And I pray that you'll help each one of these girls, these young ladies, to live a godly Christian life for your glory, praise, and honor. And they will be glad that they did. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Allow me to begin with a quote from Plato. He said, "Wise men speak because they have something to say. Fools because they have to say something." Now, please pull out your text and your digital study guide, or follow along on the screen. First, I will read a portion of the corresponding letter from the book Letters to Young Black Women. Then we will proceed with this lesson. Fourth, let your education shine through in your speech. Do not come out of college sounding ignorant. Know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. We are told in Proverbs 15:2 that the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Fifth, let your education shine through in your writing. Learn how to communicate well on paper. Sixth, let your education shine through by using the knowledge that you gain for good purposes. help others and give some of your time to worthy causes. Seventh, let your education shine through by thinking for yourself. Do not let other people think for you. Size up what every person says to you by God's word. Listening to other people who are not of God can lead you away from God and cause you to mess up the rest of your life. We do not have to look far to realize that we live in a world where everybody is talking, but very few are saying anything of substance. Turn on the TV, listen to the radio, scroll through social media, and we see and hear people from all walks of life debating about whether to kneel, stand, or sit, whether it matters to be white or black, whether certain institutions can and should be used for political advantage or not, whether we need to be concerned about climate control and gun control, and so on and so forth. The world is filled with many speakers, but very few words of wisdom, honesty, and character are being said. As you progress through life, you need to know what to say, how to say it, when to say it, to whom to say it to, and where to say it. There will be times when you will be asked for your opinion or nudged to take a side on a matter. It is at these times that you need to learn to be discerning and know whether you should speak at all in that moment or hold your peace. Everything and everyone does not necessitate a response. Too many people are losing their credibility by opening their mouth about things that have nothing to do with what truly matters in life: God, purpose, and helping others. What you say does matter. What you do not say matters equally as much. Verbal interactions, whether it is face-to-face, on the phone, over text messaging, or on social media, are important but delicate and tricky issues. To that point, when it comes to speech, be aware of the following. Truth. Is there any integrity or honesty about what you are going to say? Any veracity? Any truth? Are you understating, exaggerating, merely giving your two cents, or blowing it away, or blowing it way out of proportion? If it is not based on some element of truth or based on your personal preferences, then please keep it to yourself. Intentions. Is what you are about to say coming from a good heart, from a desire to build up rather than tear down, from a constructive and gentle spirit? If it is not, then please don't say it. Wisdom. Is what you are about to say based on biblical wisdom or worldly wisdom? When it is based on scripture, the truth will resonate with the other person. When it is based on your thinking, preferences, pet peeves, or beliefs with a scripture verse thrown in, don't be surprised if it comes across wrong. Timeliness. Is what you are about to say being said at the right time? When we say things at the right time, we give our words a better chance of being heard. Even if it is true and well-intentioned and beneficial, you can run the risk of not being heard if you start speaking at the wrong time. Helpful. Is what you are about to say truly benefiting the other person at this stage of their lives, or are you simply trying to push through an agenda that rests on a foundation of your finite thoughts and understanding? As followers of Christ, it is imperative that everything we say and how we say it, when, where, and to whom we say it, comes from a place of love and from a desire to see people know more about Him and less about us. All things that we do are to be for God's glory. So whether we are out shopping with friends, participating in a life group, sitting in a classroom, catching up with family, or engaging with a person we've never met, the words we use should be aimed at building bridges, not walls, and pointing people to Christ. And if the person or people choose not to hear what you have to say, don't push through or fight for the right to be heard, or make sure you say your piece, or walk away with an "all right, now I done told you" attitude. Let it be. The goal is not for you to prove a point or for you to be seen, but for Christ to be glorified through their response and your response. Benjamin Franklin said, "Remember not only to say the right thing in the right place, but far more difficult still, to leave unsaid the wrong thing at the tempting moment." In the next class, we will continue our study, "Let Your Education Shine Through." Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy, and your grace. And Holy Father God, we thank you for the ability to gain education. And we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit to use it aright for your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, like so many of you, I grew up in a very religious and church-going family. And during that time, I often heard the phrase, "being saved." Now, much of what church people said being saved was back then, especially in my community, is wrong according to the Bible. I wrote an article about it, a pamphlet about it, titled "On Being Saved in Black America," which is available for you to read free of charge on our website, gospellightsociety.com. Right now, I want to share with you very briefly what the Bible says being saved really means. First, dear sister, understand that you need to be saved because you are a sinner. We all are sinners. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, understand that a horrible punishment, eternal hell, awaits those who are not saved. In Matthew 25:41, Jesus Christ said that God will say to those who are not saved, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Third, realize, dear sister, that God loves you very much, and he wants to save you from hell. He wants to save you from sin in hell, for sin causes hell. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, in hell, "but have everlasting life." If you want to be saved from hell today and be guaranteed a home in heaven, simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for you, was buried, and rose from the dead for your sins. And then call upon him in prayer and ask him to save your soul. And believe me, he will. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the most important decision you will ever make in life. It will be the most important thing you will ever do in life. Dear friend, I trust that you will do it. It is my prayer that you would trust Christ as Savior right now, for he will make all of the difference in your life. He did that in my life. So until next time, my beloved, God bless you and keep you until we meet again for our next class.